From San Angelo to San Antonio, Grape Land to Grapevine, Van Horn to College Station, and all points across the Lone Star Nation. It's Texas Standard Time on this TGI Friday, December 8th. Great to have you with us. I'm David Brown, and it was this time yesterday we told you about a story published by the Daily Beast, one with what we said were likely to be major implications for Texas politics and perhaps beyond. Well, it's happening. Because of the nature of our top story and the issues and language we're almost certain to encounter over the next several minutes or so, we should warn you that what you're about to hear is not for younger listeners. Annie's List, the political group that works to get female Democrats elected in Texas, is now calling for the resignations of two of the state's most powerful Democrats, Senators Boris Miles of Houston and Carlos Uresti of San Antonio. This after the Daily Beast published a story with a headline, quote, "You want to F with me tonight? Horror stories from the Texas Capitol." The piece details the sexual harassment and intimidation of female intern staffers and news reporters working under the Pink Dome. The reporter is Olivia Messer. Olivia, welcome to Texas Standard.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You begin telling this story with a scene outside the Continental Club, and that's in Austin. It's a prominent music venue just south of the Capitol. A lot of folks may know it. It was May 2013. What happened?
This intern told me that while she was working in the legislature, she was drinking during the last week of session and out with some friends who are fellow interns. And at some point, State Senator Boris Miles pulled up in some kind of a carriage and had a wad of money with him, handed some to an intern, and then turned to this this intern who I spoke to for my story and essentially propositioned her. After that happened, she was shaken by it and a little fearful about it and confused. So
let's be explicit. I think we should just go, because I think that's an important part of this story. What did what do you report that the representative said to her?
He said, "Bitch, do you want to f with me tonight?"
Now he said this in public. There were other people present.
Yes, other interns. I have not spoken to other interns who were there, but she immediately called the legislator she was working for and his chief of staff, and they went and picked her up and spent the rest of the night, you know, seeing if she wanted to do anything about it. They were concerned about her because she was, again, shaken by this whole thing. She was surprised by it, you know, it was unpleasant, according to her telling.
No, why had she not mentioned this before? Why had this not been talked about? Maybe it had been talked about, it just wasn't publicly discussed, at least in the press.
Sure. So, you know, she told the legislator and his chief of staff, some friends. She told another person who worked in that office, and you know, then she left. She is no longer working at the Capitol. She didn't believe she would ever have to see him again. For her, it was something that she just never wanted to talk about. She didn't want to have to think about it again.
But you report there are people who said that they were physically afraid of Senator Miles. Why?
That legislator who the intern I spoke to, who she worked for, he witnessed several incidents in which Senator Miles either brought out his gun or did something else intimidating to him. And there seem to be a number of other people who have witnessed him bring his gun out in social settings in a way that they found to be concerning or disturbing.
The most serious allegation you document against Senator Uresti involves a woman on a staircase. Could you explain that?
This was, I believe, a political consultant at the time. She was walking up a staircase in the Capitol, and she says that she ran into Senator Uresti, who was at the time a representative, I believe. And he said, "Are you wearing a thong under that dress to match your polka dots?" Because she had a polka dot shift dress on and a matching jacket. It was a pretty thick dress, she says, so there's no way that he would have been able to tell what kind of undergarments she was wearing. In her mind, it was explicitly a come-on or just like a sexually inappropriate comment by him.
Let's bring in Democratic State Senator Sylvia Garcia. She represents the District 6. That'd be the Houston area, if I'm not mistaken, Senator. What do you make of these allegations?
Well, they're very disturbing. I mean, they're horrific. I think this is totally unacceptable behavior on the part of any man toward a woman. And it makes it even more problematic when the allegations are made that it is a public official, because obviously, you know, all public officials should be held to a higher standard. But I think the bigger issue is, you know, what is it that we do at the Capitol to make sure that we provide an environment for any individual who feels like they have been harassed or been discriminated against or abused or bullied, to have an avenue and a path for justice while protecting, you know, the equal protection and due process of all the parties. So I think we really need to look at every instant and make sure that for the future that we've got a way to really handle these problems where, you know, everyone is held accountable, where, you know, the policies have some real teeth so that everybody is treated the same, no matter who you are, because this is just unacceptable behavior, period.
Senator, what do you think your colleagues, Senator Uresti and Senator Miles, should do at this point?
Well, I think, you know, that's for them and their families, and I suppose at some point their lawyers to decide. But I think for us, as a body, and, you know, and I'm not talking just about the Senate, I'm talking about the House, we should make sure that we have policies that hold people accountable now and into the future. No one should exhibit this kind of behavior. And if it's something that we need to deal with internally, do that. If it needs to be referred to the district attorney, do that. But we've got to make sure that people feel that they can come to the Capitol and that it's a safe place. I mean, I'm just find it so, you know, incomprehensible that some of these things are going on. And I've read a lot of the stories that have been coming out in the press, and it's just unfortunate that women feel comfortable talking to the press, but they don't feel comfortable talking to someone at the Capitol. What does that say about what we're doing?
In a statement to the Texas Standard, Senator Miles says, quote, "Because I've shown myself to be an effective voice of the people, I have made powerful enemies who will go to any length to destroy and disrupt my service. I will not continue to address anonymous allegations that attack my personal and professional character as an effective lawmaker." Senator Uresti issued a statement in which he says that though he respects the work of Angie's List, quoting here, "unsourced allegations without specific information as to time, place, or alleged accuser, prevents me from being able to defend myself from completely unfounded innuendo." We'll have the complete statements from both lawmakers at texasstandard.org. Professor Joanna Grossman is the Ellen K. Solander Endowed Chair in Women in the Law at SMU. Professor, don't the senators have a point here? Should they have to defend themselves from anonymous allegations?
Of course. I mean, what they can do to defend themselves might differ, but the fact is the reason some allegations remain anonymous is because people do not feel comfortable. There is a real risk of retaliation, including formal types of retaliation and also social and public types of retaliation. So women always bear a tremendous burden when they decide to come forward, which is why so many of them don't. So if an allegation is out there, they need to respond to it, regardless of whether they know exactly who's made it. And the Capitol needs to respond to it.
I think the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick, has said that he wants to have some sort of more formalized investigation into the climate at the Capitol. Is there any reason to think that these incidents are isolated?
Well, given what we're seeing across the country, of course, we would say they're probably not isolated. But we already knew that. I think I was on the show a few weeks ago, and I believe you asked me, is there any significance to the fact that none of the stories yet have been in Texas? And I said, just wait. So now we're back to see some of these stories in Texas. But we've been studying sexual harassment for a long time, and we've known that this stuff is going on. It's just this moment where all of a sudden the public is realizing that it's going on. So I'm sure these are not isolated incidents. They seem extreme in some of their particulars, but I'm sure they're part of a bigger culture. And looking at an institution is, in fact, the only way to figure out what's going on. You have to do that sort of self-audit.
Senator, do you sense that there's a climate that is anti-woman at the Capitol?
Well, you know, I've certainly have said that in more than one debate on a variety of issues, whether it's reproductive rights, whether it's, you know, insurance coverage, which is equal pay, or even Medicaid coverage, because it's women and children that suffer and get hurt. But you know, to me, the issue here is making sure that we handle these complaints, and that we have an environment that's conducive for someone feeling safe to be able to do so, because we can set something up, but no one will come if they know that it's going to be, you know, one of the another senator or another male senator who's going to review the complaint. It's got to be independent. It's got to be transparent. It's going to have to ensure that everybody will be heard in a fair and full hearing, and that there's real teeth to accountability. You know, you're not going to make a complaint if you know that nothing's going to happen.
What is the vehicle? I mean, would you know, Senator, how to make a formal complaint against Salomica?
Well, I sent a letter to the chair of our administration committee since way back, you know, in December 1st, after I first saw some of the news stories that had come out, you know, way before, you know, yesterday's story about these two senators. So, you know, I've been on this for a couple of weeks, and in my mind, I think we need to have legislation similar to what Amy Klobuchar passed in the Senate, combined with some of the things that are going on in the Congress and in the House, where we provide training, that we have a crisis hotline, that we have a way for people to make complaints, and that it be, again, independent. And it's to be, you know, one policy and one entity for the entire Capitol. I applaud that the House has moved on this topic already to some degree. But you can't have one set of rules of the House and another set of rules of the Senate.
You're listening to the Texas Standard. I'm David Brown, and we're continuing with our top story, a conversation on sexual harassment and intimidation at the Texas Capitol in the wake of the publication of allegations against two Texas senators, Boris Miles of Houston and Carlos Uresti. The story appears in the Daily Beast, and we're talking with the reporter Olivia Messer, as well as Democratic State Senator Sylvia Garcia of the Houston area, and Professor Joanna Grossman, Endowed Chair in Women in the Law at SMU. Senator, I want to come back to you. Annie's List has called for the two senators, Uresti and Miles, to resign. Why aren't you calling for their resignation?
Well, I think, you know, every group, and I know, you know, Annie's List has been very supportive of my campaigns. There are obviously, you know, there'll be more groups weighing in. But I want to focus on the policies to listen to that can hear all complaints. And certainly, if this is investigated and there's some truth to any part of this, because the reports are horrific. Obviously, you know, I would be the one. I'll join them in doing that. But because I have not seen everything about this. And I was in D.C. yesterday, so I haven't even really read. I apologize, Olivia, I haven't read the full article yet. You know, I've not had time to just really go through it. But again, it's reprehensible behavior. And if true, people should be held accountable no matter who they are.
Olivia, you told us before we started that this has been a little nerve-wracking for you in reporting this story. How so?
It has. You know, these are not the only officials that I'm looking into allegations about inside the Texas Capitol. These are not the only allegations that I, you know, plan to publish. And even against these two men, more women have come forward since yesterday. So it is, they are very difficult allegations to hear and to report on. I want to be thorough and absolutely certain that the information is credible before we publish things. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's disturbing content. I can't say that it isn't. And these women who come forward are afraid. It's a big emotional burden that a person takes on when they decide to tell their story. Whether their name is attached to it or not, it makes a person incredibly vulnerable to have a traumatic moment in their life picked apart by other people or denied by, you know, someone they believe hurt them.
I want to open up the floor to all of you. If there's anything else in particular that you would like to mention in relation to this story, I want to give you that opportunity.
Well, I want to say something. I think it's important that we commend the women that have come forward, because Lalee is absolutely correct.
This is Senator Garcia speaking.
A very difficult thing to do. And as someone who's been subjected to, you know, unsolicited and non-consensual overtures myself, I mean, it's something that every woman, I mean, I don't think I've talked to any woman since the stories erupted that hasn't recounted a story. It takes a lot to come forward, and it takes a lot for reporters like Olivia to listen to this, because it's very emotional. And I think that there's a lot of feeling among a lot of women that you know, enough is enough, and they're just tired of it. So I think we really need to work hard to support these women through a fair and open process, so where they feel comfortable to share their stories and know and have faith in the process to make sure that folks are held accountable.
And I just wanted to jump in and second the call for accountability. These policies and procedures that the House has been working on and that the Senate has in place from a while ago, these are good, necessary steps, but they're not remotely sufficient. The policies and procedures don't stop this. It's all about auditing the culture and figuring out what is it about this structure, about the huge power disparities between political officials and, for example, interns, and the strange way in which politics happens that might allow these sorts of crazy allegations to be true. And so we got to really look at the institution of the legislature. And as Senator Garcia called for, that has to be done by someone independent. This is not a job for an internal committee.
That's the voice of Professor Joanna Grossman. She is with Southern Methodist University, where she's Ellen K. Solander Endowed Chair in Women and the Law. Also, Democratic State Senator Sylvia Garcia has been speaking with us. She represents Texas Senate District 6, that's the Houston area, and Olivia Messer, who spent several years reporting from the Texas Capitol before joining the Daily Beast. We'll have a link to her story at texasstandard.org. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.